Rushdoony Radio presents Systematic Theology in Two Volumes by Russus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation.
3. Shiloh. One of the haunting prophecies of Genesis is 49:8-10. Even C.A. Simpson in The Interpreter's Bible admits that Genesis 49:10, quote, has a messianic significance, end quote, although perhaps for that reason he assigned it to a later date. His evolutionary presuppositions prevented him from a clear assessment of the text. Jacob, on his deathbed, gives an inspired blessing and prophecy. The inheritance God ordained for Judah is the messianic element in his blessings. Quote, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. End quote. First, these verses clearly assert the preeminence in Israel of the tribe of Judah. Verse 8 was plainly fulfilled in 2 Samuel 5:1-3, when all Israel gathered to make David king at Hebron, and to declare their membership in him. Quote, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh, end quote, 2 Samuel 5:1. These words clearly recall Adam's words concerning Eve, Genesis 2:23. The kingdom of Israel declared itself to be the bride of God's appointed king, David. All his father's children, including half-brothers, would be under his authority, and he would rule over his enemies. Second, Judah is compared to a lion, bold, fearless, and lordly. When a lion is at rest, even then, who would dare to rouse him up? We are prepared, in Genesis 49:8-9, for the messianic prophecy which follows. All of Judah's preeminence through the royal Davidic line is a prologue for the world dominion to follow in the great Son of David, the Messiah. Third, the royal line of David has as its purpose the passing on of the scepter, the symbol of rule and dominion, to the world ruler. In Abraham, God called out the chosen line of the seed of the woman. That line is now narrowed down to Judah. Shiloh shall come, he, quote, to whom it is, end quote. That is, Shiloh means, quote, to whom it is, end quote, the rightful possessor of all rule and authority. Shiloh, or the Messiah, fulfilled the mandate of Genesis 1:26-28 and Psalm 5. He is the great new Adam, the royal man, and the head of the new humanity. Therefore, unto him shall be the gathering or obedience of all peoples of the world. He will, as the new Adam, dispossess the old humanity of the fallen Adam. He therefore declares, even to the outward but unbelieving Israel, quote, Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof, end quote. Matthew 21:43. Jesus Christ is the head of that new nation or kingdom. We must remember again that in antiquity and beyond antiquity to the present, the idea of a nation is totally religious. A nation is a people gathered together under a common faith in terms of the kingship of their Lord or God. The modern age has sought to equate nationhood with a common racial or geographical boundary or a common language, but this is a recent development and also a myth. Nationalism, in this sense, has been a very real force in the past almost two centuries, but nationalism has been so closely allied with imperialism that its, quote, faith, end quote, in nationalism is open to question. nationalism has been a humanistic faith, as has been internationalism, and it defines man and nation to suit the humanistic politics of the moment. Basic to it has been its humanism, its religious faith in a particular kind of man. When Jacob speaks of the people's obeying or being gathered to Shiloh, he speaks of a religious obedience. Any other concept of obedience had no place in antiquity and in Jacob's world of thought. We thus have a very plain declaration that the peoples of the world will be gathered to, or be in obedience to, the Messiah. The Messiah is clearly declared to be the world ruler. Again, however, it is the line of faith rather than blood which is stressed. Judah is the chosen line, but in the line of Judah there are aliens like Ruth and Bathsheba, Matthew 1, 5 and 6, as well as Tamar, Matthew 1, 3. Even more, while Judah is the royal line, it cannot rule apart from God and his word. Judgment thus fell upon Rehoboam and his successors again and again until we come to the end of the kingdom and captivity. In words which recall Shiloh, Ezekiel declares, quote, "And thou, profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end. Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him." End quote, Ezekiel 21, 25-27. No man, nor nation, nor any church has any standing before the Lord in terms of its past, its ancestors, or its history. The very house of David is turned out and sent into captivity, its diadem removed, and its kingdom overturned and destroyed. God makes clear that only one nation has any standing in history, the kingdom of Christ. He alone has a right to rule and authority and a property right to all the earth. It is not only man, but all the nations that have fallen prey to original sin, to the desire to be as God, Genesis 3:5. Each makes itself its own source of law, a clear usurpation of God's prerogative. Each seeks to limit or prohibit the freedom of God's word. The nations, without exception, claim sovereignty, a plain assertion of their own lordship or deity. Every nation is, and has always been, a religious entity. Moreover, the nations, as they now exist and function, are members of the fallen world of Adam and fanatic advocates of Adam's faith and rebellion. The coming of Shiloh is the beginning of the war against the nations, a war set forth in part in Revelation. Their declaration of independence of God and his Messiah King is a great insult and a declaration of war. Shiloh comes as the conqueror, as he whose right it is, that is, as the only rightful Lord of all things. Against all his enemies, he is like a devouring lion. He shall destroy all who refuse him his due obedience. Thus, today, men, churches, and nations which are not faithful to Shiloh are, like Judah, cast aside and sent into captivity. Those who stand by faith and under the Messiah's authority reign with him. It is the nations of our time, not Christ's kingdom, who are in trouble and under judgment. Until they are in obedience to Christ, they are under his wrath and his judgment. The nations are his inheritance, and God declares, quote, "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. End quote. Psalm 2:9-12. Hello, this is Nathan, the narrator. Find my past and present projects and more at nathanteacher.com.